Welcome to Two Pittas on a Pod. Thank you for joining us. We're excited to share the musings of a couple of yogis.
We hope you learn, laugh, and enjoy, and we hope you will share your comments or questions. Without further ado,
I'm Kat Kahn.
And I am Tanya Rice.
And this is Two Pittas
on a Pod.
Hey, Kat.
Hey, Tanya.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are things in Minnesota?
They're pretty good. How are things over there in Knoxville?
They are fabulous. It is so warm outside. It's about 65 degrees.
What?
I know. We've been out on walks and there's not a cloud in the sky. I think it's going to fool us because it looks like spring, but it's going to come slam us in the back of the head, I think, pretty soon. But right now it's beautiful.
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't think we're doing awful here. It's definitely sunny, and I think we're somewhere in the 30s, which is a far better cry than negative, 20, whatever it was a couple weeks back.
Yeah, negative 20, that's hard to get enough layers on for that.
It just encourages you to stay indoors, which is fine. So I think it would be fun for us to talk about chakras today.
Yeah, I'm excited. I love chakras. So.
And I think the general population, if they haven't already heard of it, they're starting to hear about it more and more. And I know most of our yogis know about it already because we talk about it all the time in the studio. But Yeah, chakras in the scheme of the body and its energetics are like wheels of energy or plexuses of neurons and nerve communication. In the old Eastern language, they were called chakras. There were seven of them that went along the spinal column. As we learn and understand more of the central nervous system and modern medicine, we now know that it is definitely associated or in relation to the areas where there are major nerve ganglia in the spinal column. As those nerves go out and feed the specific, we'll say, regions of the organs and the body parts, that's where those centers are. And those chakras come out of that old Eastern language. And we use them in yoga because they're so easy to associate to. People can go, oh, that makes complete sense. My root chakra is out of alignment. I don't feel rooted in my world. Like the language is just right. Very familiar.
Yeah. And that kind of terminology we use almost in every class, even if we're not working through a chakra class. So I think people do feel that kind of connection. And I think people are very interested in the healing function along that spiritual channel too now. So I think that's one reason we've gotten so much more interest in the chakras now.
Absolutely. I feel like most people are gravitating to it now because it feels familiar. It doesn't require a trip to the doctor. We can just be like, oh, I definitely know that, I have this like heartburn in my heart space. I need to readjust. I need to do something. I need to either stretch it, work it, exercise it, or feed it properly, right? Or likewise, I'm suffering from a headache. I know that there's stress going on. I could close my eyes and do a little bit of eye exercise. I could calm myself down, take some deep breathing. And we're now realizing that we have all these tools available to us. That we can be doing small things right here, sitting wherever you are, to start healing those chakras.
And I think people are so drawn to them. I was watching Firefly Lane last night on TV, and one of the ladies, she was a hippie lady, but she was spinning in a circle going, my heart chakra is glowing and it's sending love to the world. I'm healing. And I think that, none of us do that, but I think that we like the idea of that. So we want to look at the first chakra, the root chakra, the Muladhara chakra. This chakra is people associate it with the color red. The element of this chakra is earth, and it's located at the base of the spine in the perineum area. And the basic issues associated with the root chakra are safety and survival, shelter, groundedness, trust, boundaries, and physical health. So when we have an unbalanced root chakra, you may have feelings of isolation, of abandonment, you may have lack of trust. And when your root chakra is balanced, you feel a little more sense of peace, of belonging, of trust, of safety. So you feel more grounded, more rooted in your life, in your environment. And that root chakra kind of cultivates that grounded and safe relationship with the material world.
Right. So it's like par for everything that's happening in the world right now, because there is this instability. There is this feeling in general of people dealing with a global pandemic and not feeling potentially safe where they are. Or is it safe to go out in public? Is it safe? Is the vaccine safe? Like, we hear this word being thrown about all the time, which is like just this huge, huge red flag that everybody's feeling slightly unsafe. Whether it's legitimately from the pandemic or if it's just because they're afraid to voice their opinion and they don't feel like it's safe for them to voice their opinion, right? So it's like the word's coming up a lot. So right now, root chakra issues all over the place.
Yeah, completely.
So when it comes to the first chakra, I love to reference the book Anatomy of the Spirit by Caroline Miss. She has this fantastic way of sort of drawing everything back to this innate sense that each of us comes from the tribe that we were born into. We move into the tribe that as we become an adult, we build our own tribe. We have friendship tribes, right? That it's from this place of belonging and this sense of knowing that we're born from the divine, we return to the divine. So it's this very big, really lovely circular function that she teaches the chakras from. So in her description of the first chakra, the basic right is to be here. I have the right to be here, which is a powerful statement. And there's a lot of people in the world who don't feel comfortable saying that statement. Like right there is a red flag.
A lot of the world, I mean, a lot of people feel like the world's telling them they don't have the right to be there because they're not whatever enough to be here. Yeah. And so I agree with that.
Yeah. And then she moves into, which are similar to some of the items you talked about, but she calls them primary fears. Right. And your primary fears when it comes to the first chakra are survival, abandonment, and loss of order, which you talked about survival and abandonment. But loss of order, it's kind of a thing, like, right? And we know it to be true because when does our anxiety rise? We know that our anxiety heads on a rise when we feel like the things we have to tackle are either out of order, we're not getting them done the way we thought we should, like when we feel mentally out of order, right? And this is classic for root chakra problems. But then the beauty of it is, you know, what about all the strengths? So when she refers to primary fears, she then also refers to the primary strengths. The primary strengths of that first chakra is to know that you do have a tribe, that you're able to say, oh my gosh, my family, we gather for the holidays. This is my tribe. This is my tribe of people. I have friends who are like-minded people that support me and I support them. They're my tribe, right? It's that very strong sense of belonging. And it's very important. It also requires bonding. And bonding is something that is learned from a very young time in your life. And if you're not taught how to bond early, it becomes a very big chronic problem for the first chakra.
Well, now I wonder how hard it's going to be when we kind of get over COVID, because we've been so used to bonding with our communities and with our tribes. And now we've not severed that bond, but it's been wounded. Indeed. And so have to do work to create, to strengthen that bond we have.
Yeah. It's an awkward thing even now when you see people that you love who are dear to you, that you want to hug them and you're like, should I? Should I not? Like, right? Like already there's this place of just awkwardness that is, like you say, wounding that tribal feeling. Yeah.
Right.
The other component to what she talks about in her book is also what she calls sacred truths. So these would be lovely mantras. If people wanted to work on a mantra, the mantra you could use for chakra one is all is one. It's a lovely mantra. In general, if people want to be working on their first chakra, like if they know they're just feeling not grounded right now, those are things you can do. Postures that are seated on the ground and or meditation in nature. Both are very grounding and very healing to chakra one.
Have you ever gone out into the woods in or out on the hiking trail and just stood in mountain pose and lifted your face to the sky and just felt yourself root? That is just one of the most wonderful feelings, just to stand there out in nature.
Yeah. It's also really lovely if you have a tree that you feel very comfortable near to sit in meditation with your back against the tree and visualize that as you breathe, you're breathing through the tree.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
It's really cool.
Reach around and hug that tree too. I love to feel the vibe.
Look at us, nerds and geeks.
Well, let's move on to the sacral chakra. This chakra, this is the second chakra, and it governs our sense of self-worth, how we relate to others, and the confidence we have in our own creativity. The color of the sacral chakra is burnt orange. The element is water, and it's located in your low abdomen, your low back, and the sexual organs. The basic issues associated with the sacral chakra are pleasure, sexuality, sensuality, emotions, intimacy, warmth, creativity, and confidence. When you have an unbalanced sacral chakra, you feel out of touch with your feelings, overly emotional or stoic, impotent or frigid, low back problems. A balanced sacral chakra, you have more of an enjoyment of activities without guilt, while being able to maintain healthy boundaries and have the ability to express healthy emotional behavior more.
Yeah, the second chakra, Svadhisthana, is maybe one of the most highly affected because of relationships and how it's tied to relationships. Mm-hmm. So any sort of relationship trauma, relationship loss, any sort of physical trauma, it all resides in this space. But the beauty of it too is if you think about it from a standpoint of life and creation, it plays a really huge part in carrying the load of childbearing and the relationship in, you know, creating life and that really strong tie between mother and child through the umbilical cord. So all of that resides in the space of the second chakra.
Very true.
If we look at it from the book Anatomy of the Spirit again, just because we'll keep that as our theme, the basic right of the second chakra is to feel. I have the right to feel. And it doesn't mean I have the right to get stuck in those feelings, but it means I have the right to feel, right? And the primary fears, like you were speaking of, is that loss of control. And in this case, it's feeling loss of control within a relationship. When boundaries start getting mixed up and relationships start going awry, also included in this is impotence, rape, and addiction, because they're so strongly related to that very creative, watery side of the second chakra. But our primary strengths for the second chakra, on the flip, is that ability to take risks. It's like the daredevil in us resides in the second chakra. It's that courageous side. With it is also the ability to have financial stability. But it also refers to decision making. If one is a procrastinator, that's residing in the second chakra. But when you're a strong decision maker, that's also residing in the second chakra. And the sacred truth for the second chakra is honor one another.
I love that. So it all goes back to relationships.
All goes back to relationships. Yep. Mm-hmm. If a person's looking for quick ways to work on the second chakra, postures would be low core or forward folding, right? Just taking a deep forward fold, working on that second chakra. And meditation is gratitude for people. Like, sit and make a list of all the people who have touched your life in some way or another.
And not even just the positive relationships with people. You know, we grow and learn from even the less than positive relationships that we have in our lives. So, and we need to be grateful for those too, because we learn so much from all of them.
Yeah, it's absolutely true that it is more common that people say, man, but I am what I am because of that. Like, I came through that and now look at me, right?
I'm always drawn to this chakra. Whenever I pick a mala bracelet or something I want to wear, I generally am drawn to one of the stones that are associated with this chakra. And I don't know, it's because I'm drawn to that creative energy that I feel when I'm focused on this chakra, but I'm just very drawn to it. So does that have anything to do with us being pittas, do you think?
Yeah, pittas are generally like stuck in chakras 1, 2, and 3. Like me too, like my color is orange. My logo is orange. Everything about me is orange. You look in my closet, half the clothes are orange. Like, orange is my thing. And that's a chakra 2 relationship.
And I have orange hair. There you go.
Naturally born chakra too.
Okay, let's move on to the solar plexus chakra. This one is associated with identity and self-esteem. The color is golden yellow. The element is fire, which makes sense since it's located in the abdomen. The basic issues are self-esteem, vitality, forcefulness, perception, insight, will, and discipline. An unbalanced solar plexus chakra may manifest itself in low self-esteem, low vitality, hypersensitivity to criticism, or being overly critical of others. So when we have a balanced solar plexus chakra, we're energetic and we're confident, we're more in touch with our personal power, and we're able to complete tasks, and we're more cheerful, vital, strong, and we feel alive.
We're all fiery.
In that belly.
Yeah, fire in the belly. Okay, so three, the Manipura is all about having the right to act. I have the right to act. Okay. Mm-hmm. With that, we have to follow some of the yamas and niyamas. We need to act properly, kindly, and fairly, but we do have the right to act. And with that, primary fears, as you were talking about, some of them are as simple as rejection. How hard is it to hear rejection? How hard is it to hear criticism? Right? And our problems with our physical appearance fall into this chakra. So obesity shows up, baldness shows up, early signs of aging or premature graying shows up coming out of the third chakra.
This is another chakra that I'm drawn to, but it's never my first choice of going as a go-to, but I am very drawn to this one.
It's because your fiery personality takes you there. The primary strengths of this chakra, like you were talking about, is self-esteem, but also self-respect and self-discipline, right? Mm-hmm. It's being committed. This is where tapas and yoga falls in place, is in the third chakra. This is all about ambition, the ability to handle crisis, not to panic in the sense of an emergency. This is where fright and flight are all sort of drawn into the center, and you now take action. You've taken that breath. You're like, okay, now I know what I'm up against. Now I know what I need to do, right? And the sacred truth for this chakra is to honor oneself. So where the second chakra was to honor others, now in this chakra, it's honoring ourselves. People want quick fixes for the third chakra. Postures are core related. Anything that's going to fire up the core is also going to fire up the third chakra, right? Mm-hmm. If it makes your abs burn, You're working it. And the meditation would be to use a mantra like, I am strong. I am courageous, right? That all falls in this third chakra.
I'm fierce.
I'm fierce.
Let's move to the heart chakra. Anahata, mm-hmm. The heart chakra is emerald green in color. It's located at the center, at the heart center. And it's thought to be a balance point between the three lower physical chakras and the three higher spiritual chakras. The element is air. Basic issues are love and compassion, kindness, relationships, self-acceptance, forgiveness, hope, sympathy, and empathy. An unbalanced heart chakra may manifest itself in resentment, in suspicion, possessiveness, dependency, emotional insensitivity, sorrow, grief, depression. When your heart chakra's balanced, you're able to give and receive love and be compassionate and feel a sense of wholeness and a profound unity with others. So a lot of times people feel that they're balanced in their heart chakra, but because they're very easily able to give love, but you have to be able to receive love as well. And that's the little sticking point I find when I do my chakra work with people. They're easily able to give, but to allow someone to give to them, I struggle.
It is that little bit of a double-edged sword, right? Like, we're like, but I love all the time. I love everybody. Yeah. Do you love yourself? That's the tricky question. Yeah. Uh-huh. So the basic right of this chakra is, in fact, to love. And with that is the basic right to love others, but it's also the basic right to be loved, as you say. The primary fears go along with this is loneliness and commitment, but it's also the inability to protect your own heart. So even though those people who are super duper lovey, 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 love everybody, it's whether or not they have safe boundaries with that, that they're loving everybody, but still keeping up a safe boundary that protects their own heart. And with that also is jealousy anger, hatred, those all fall within this space of the heart chakra. But like you say, the strengths are so incredible. Like, this is that place where everybody longs to be, with a happy heart. Everybody longs for a happy heart because it is that place of love and compassion and forgiveness, of hope, of trust, of faith, right? It's the ability to reach out to others and know that you are strong enough in your own heart to help others. You know? Mm-hmm. And that sacred truth is that love is divine power. It's a gift we were given, and it is our obligation to give it away.
That's powerful.
Yeah. So powerful. With that, again, when people are looking for quick fixes, a quick fix for heart chakra postures would be heart openers. Doing any sort of back bends, that's drawing the shoulder blades down and lifting the sternum. It's going to help to open the heart space.
Your favorite camel.
My favorite camel. Nope, still not. Remember, we said we were going to come back to that in a few months and see if it changed. Did not. It is still not my favorite. Okay. And then the meditations that we can do for the heart space are any sort of gratitude meditations. Because anytime that we're doing gratitude meditations, it takes us into this place of loving kindness and compassion, appreciation.
And maybe even reminding yourself that you're cultivating love within yourself.
Yeah. And that you have so much around you to be thankful for, that when you lose sight of that, it's easy for you to get into a space that isn't quite as loving, isn't quite as compassionate.
Very true. All right. My new favorite chakra is the throat chakra.
Your new favorite? How come?
Well, you know, I'm always worrying. You know, you and I have done some work together on my personal mantra, but I always have a lot to say. So I don't have a problem with creativity and communication, but I find that when it comes to my writing life, I sometimes struggle with feeling worthy of being heard.
Ah, it's the other side of the coin. Yeah. So it's not so much the speaking, but it's the believing that what your words are worthy.
I know. It's that. And I think every writer goes through that imposter syndrome. And so the more I write, the more comfortable I get with my voice, my writing voice. But I also, there's always that little nag in the back of my head going, you aren't worthy.
Those damn voices.
I know. So moving on to the throat chakra. This chakra is blue in color. The element is ether. And it's located in the throat neck area. The basic issues with the throat chakra are communication, creativity, expression, humility, and manifesting ideas. Major issues of an unbalanced throat chakra are a lack of expression, an inability to express oneself, a feeling of stagnation, an inability to communicate, holding on to unexpressed anger. So it's not all about the speaking and the creative part. It's holding on to unexpressed anger as well. So we may feel a sense of not being heard or an inability to make ourselves heard, as well as a failure to find the right words. Or some people, even when they've got an unbalanced throat chakra, have a fear of speaking. A lot of people have a fear of speaking. When we're balanced in our throat chakra, we're able to speak our truth. We feel balanced and centered, creatively inspired, and we're able to express ourselves. And we have that ability to be able to communicate effectively.
Yeah. The fifth chakra, Vishuddha, as you say, the basic right is to speak. I have the right to speak. And this is a big thing for people who are in relationship and or know someone who is a consistent interrupter. Because you feel like right there, every time you're interrupted, you get this little wound, like a tiny little arrow has been shot at you, that your words aren't worth being listened to because they're worth interrupting. And those are little daggers that we take. So with, you know, the chakra and using Caroline Mice's words, the primary fears is losing control of ourselves. Like that if our words aren't worthy, that no one's going to listen to us. And we're going to lose control. Fear of speaking up for ourselves, being our own advocates. That's a big thing, right? Defending yourself in the midst of conflict or feeling like you have the right to defend yourself. That's a big component to the fifth chakra. But then on the opposite side of that, our primary strengths with the fifth chakra is our self-knowledge. It's the ability to say, like you said, I know this is my truth and I'm going to defend myself. This is who I am. This is who I desire to be. And I'm not going to be afraid to say that. Personal authority. And then a big component to this is keeping your word. If you say it, act on it, do it, believe it, walk the walk. So with this, the sacred truth now is surrendering to personal will and believing that all of your will is divine will. Surrender mm-hmm. is a big component to it. So we think about quick fixes for the fifth chakra. Postures would be camel, fish pose, up dog. But meditations would be chanting or singing. Even singing in the shower is helpful for the fifth chakra.
Just recognizing that you are worthy
of being heard. You are worthy of being heard. Your words have value.
Yes, they do. All right. Let's see. We have only got two more chakras to go. The third eye chakra. This is the sixth chakra. And it's associated with sight and seeing, both intuitively and physically. The color is indigo. The element is light. Basic issues are clairvoyance, telepathy, wisdom, connection to the higher self, imagination, dreams, ideas, and reasoning. Major issues of an unbalanced third eye include an inability to see the big picture and to keep an open mind. You may also find that reasoning, clear thinking, judgment, memory, concentration may be compromised. You may have fuzzy thinking. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'm fuzzy thinking all the time. But when your third eye chakra is unbalanced, you may have fuzzy thinking, confusion, intellectual stagnation or decline, headaches, sinusitis, vision problems, anxiety disorders, nightmares. When it's balanced, we feel intellectually at the top of our game. Our creativity and imagination soars, and you're able to think clearly and have a comfortable detachment from material things. And one of the most important things is you trust your intuition.
Which is such a key thing, and it's so strongly connected to the third chakra. Trust your gut. There's a very strong connection between the third eye and the third chakra. The basic right of the sixth chakra, which is Ajna, A-J-N-A, is to see. And it's not just like you say, to see what's in front of us physically, but to see what is going on in our conscious, our subconscious, and being able to differentiate the difference. Is that a voice I'm supposed to be listening to? Or is that a voice I need to be shutting off? Being able to differentiate what's actually your truth. The primary fears in this case is the fear of the truth. And sometimes it's hard to hear the truth, especially if it's going to be convicting and we know, yeah, I really need to work on that. It's hard sometimes to hear it. Additional primary fears is fear of sounds. Now, I have, you know, one of those interesting pet peeves about sounds, like clicking pens, jingling coins, repetitive sounds, like is just really super aggravating for me. And I can pick it up like for miles. And I never made the association to it being a third eye thing until I started working in energy work. I started to notice that those sounds didn't bother me so much when I looked at what the energy behind the sound was. And then I became a little bit more compassionate to what it is. Because anybody who's doing those repetitive sounds, it's nervous energy. And so instead of being aggravated by the sound, if I now turn it into an energetic compassion for the person who has that anxiety or nervous tick, it's different, right? I see it differently now. Another component is unrealistic judgment. And we've seen this time and time again where you're like, wow, how come you can't see that right in front of you? And yet the person is like intentionally skirting it because they don't want to see that truth. But primary strengths, like you said, this is your intellectual prowess, man. Like I'm feeling on top of my game right here. And this is your ability to evaluate right from wrong. This is where all of that good, intelligent inspiration comes from. And with this is the sacred truth is seeking only truth. Mm-hmm. If you know it's not true, let it go. Not worth hanging on to.
Yeah.
If it's not your truth, especially if it's someone else's truth, let them have it. Not your business. Let it go.
Right.
So we want quick fixes for the sixth chakra. Postures would be anything that's drishti specific. So if we're taking our gaze to the sun, that's effective for the third eye. If we're doing candle gazing during a meditation, that's really great for the third eye. But anything that's really specific to what your eyes are doing, close the eyes, look inside at the third eye, powerful for the third eye. And then meditation would be any sort of third eye meditation or meditation on your intuition, like really trying to get in touch with lucid dreaming, part of this chakra as well.
Yeah, I did a whole workshop at a writing retreat on dreams mm-hmm. and the third eye. It was pretty interesting, the connection.
It's really lovely.
Righty. Well, we are ready for the crown chakra. This is our highest chakra. It's located at the top of our head. The color is white, or some say violet. So white or violet. I usually go with white. And the element is energy. The basic issues are wisdom, intuitive knowing, spiritual development, selflessness. It represents liberation, bringing great knowledge, deep understanding, inner wisdom, and a connection to the highest state of enlightenment and spiritual growth. The major issues of an unbalanced crown chakra may manifest as a lack of purpose, a loss of meaning, indifference, depression. We may worry, we may feel depressed, have chronic exhaustion, skin problems, hypersensitivity to light, to sound, to our environment. But when it's balanced, it opens us up to a profound awakening. It brings fulfillment to one's true destiny and an enhanced sense of spirituality and kind of a sense of bliss.
It's so lovely. The seventh chakra, which is our Sahasrara. The seventh chakra is our basic right to know. I have the right to know. That doesn't mean you have the right to know other people's business. You have the right to know your truth and any knowledge that applies to you and your truth. Primary fears, like you said, this is fears of spiritual wholeness. This is fears of the loss of God. A lot of times we suffer problems with this associated with grief. We went through the whole grief episode. But when a person suffers great grief, what's the first thing they kind of go to if they have a spiritual relationship is they get mad at God. How dare you? That's part of this seventh chakra. And so also is loss of identity. So when we talk about large mental illness, we talk about schizophrenia and the deeper mental illnesses. This is related to that loss of identity. Primary strengths are then the reverse of that. It's faith in the divine. It's the ability to say, I trust. I believe in the universe's abundance for me. I know that this is going to turn out okay. I just need to be patient. And it's insight into healing. It's insight into inner guidance. All of that is connected to this seventh chakra. And the sacred truth is to live in the present moment. When we get stuck thinking about the next thing or stuck thinking about the past, we're missing so much. So quick fixes for this seventh chakra, inversions, postures that are inverting the body. Take yourself up on top of your head, figure out how to invert the body. And meditations is, you know, strong-willed dedications or divine chanting. You can also use I am thine, we are thine, all is thine. There are a lot of different things that you can use for seventh chakra. If you have a go-to biblical text you like to use, any sort of strong, powerful, faithful religious words.
Every time we talk about chakras, when we're just chit-chatting, I always go diving in and pulling out books and looking back through them. Do we want to share some of our favorite books? But one thing I will mention I love a lot is a chakra deck from Olivia Miller. And I just love this. It's a wonderful little deck and it has cards. It goes into all the description about each chakra. It gives you a breath and a meditation for each chakra and poses associated with that. Oh. And it's just fabulous. Another book that I like to use, and I've referenced this in several of our podcasts. This is just very, very short. It's called The Yoga Mind, and it's by Rena Jakubowicz. Last name is Jakubowicz. But the way she has, it's only 3 pages per each chakra, but she goes into the meaning, the significance, the effect, and then she gives a little brief writing about each one and then a practice piece for each one. So I do like that. And then the big chakra book that I like is The Sevenfold Journey, Reclaiming the Body, Mind, and Spirit Through the Chakras. And that's by Anadeya Judith. And then, of course, the chakra book we used in our teacher training was wonderful, too. But I didn't pull that one out.
So the couple of books that I have are The Anatomy of the Spirit, which I referenced throughout today's podcast, with the primary fears and the primary strengths and the sacred truth. And that is The Anatomy of the Spirit by Caroline Myss, M-Y-S-S. Another one that I really love and I use to support my 300-hour teacher training is The Eight Human Talents by Gurmukh. With Carolyn Michonne, and I love both those books. In addition to the chakra book that we use for our 300 hour, which is The Wheels of Life by Anadeya Judith.
There's so many wonderful chakra books out there. We'll have to share more of them when we do some future podcast episodes on chakra stuff.
Specific.
Yes.
Well, it's been a pleasure. I love that we have such a passion, you and I, for the chakras.
Well, it's amazing how quickly we can fill up time just talking, because I think our listeners can tell and can hear the passion in our voices for our topics we really love.
This is Kat Kahn
and Tanya Rice. We are grateful you joined us.
We are signing off. We hope you will join us again.
And we hope you enjoyed today's podcast.
And we hope you'll share with us
any of your questions or comments.
Leave us a comment on our YouTube channel.
Or like us on Facebook and Instagram.